So this is John's Gospel, chapter 20, 1 to 18, and it's on page 1089 for those who want to read along from the church Bibles. So John 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still didn't understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord," and she told them that he had all said these things to her.
Great reading, isn't it? It's a very powerful reading. So we're thinking about resurrection morning today. Then coming up, we've got resurrection evening. We're going to look in a bit more detail about that next week. Then in the following week, Jesus appeared to the disciples throughout that following week, then through the whole period of 40 days before the ascension, and then his appearance to people in visions, to Paul the Apostle, but also to others after his resurrection. So that's what we're going to be thinking about in the next 5 weeks. This morning, thinking about resurrection morning. Mary meeting with Jesus. So the first thing that really stands out to me is that no one was expecting Jesus to have risen. The apostles didn't even go to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and the other ladies, as we discover in the other Gospels, bought spices so that they could anoint Jesus' dead body. And they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" They knew the practicalities of what they were going to do. They had a clear understanding of what was going to happen. And it was that Jesus was dead and they were going to anoint his body. So no one expected Jesus to have risen. Secondly, there was no body in the tomb. Sometimes we talk about an empty tomb. The tomb wasn't empty. It still contained the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head, carefully folded and placed separately. The fact that that was there is significant, and we'll look at that a little later. The next thing that struck me, they still didn't understand. They said that they believed that he's risen, but they didn't understand why that was or how that could be. So they didn't understand from Scripture what had been prophesied. Mary Magdalene saw Jesus. The other women and Peter and John left when they couldn't find the body. But Mary stayed there crying. And it keeps the angels and Jesus, everybody keeps asking her, "Why are you crying?" So I think she must have been making quite a racket. She was really sobbing. She was still not expecting to meet the risen Jesus. She just wanted to find the body so that she could do what she planned to do, to anoint his body after he had died. Even when she speaks directly with Jesus, she's too convinced that he's dead to recognize that it's him. Then eventually she recognizes him and has a conversation with him. Fifthly, Mary left. You might not see that as so significant, but when you realize that she stayed there despite having seen two angels, despite everybody telling her that the body isn't there, the fact that she's willing to leave is a huge change for her, a change brought about by that encounter with Jesus. Nothing would drag her from that place, but once she's met the risen Jesus and he tells her to go, she runs off. So she then passes on that message, Jesus' message, to the disciples. So I want to try and apply those five things. So no one expected Jesus to have risen. Sometimes people speak about the resurrection as a hallucination or a wish fulfillment. Well, nobody wished for it and nobody was thinking that it was at all possible. No one expected it. No one understood it when it happened. Our faith is not built on wishful thinking, but on solid testimony of what they saw and heard. We have a faith which calls us to face facts and to believe God. Not to believe in what we hope, not to wish for something, but to face the facts of how things are and believe that God is bigger than those facts. Secondly, Jesus' body was raised from the dead. We're going to discover in the coming weeks that that risen body can do things that it couldn't do before, like pass through locked doors. But already it's clear that he's no ghost. Mary could hold on to him. He was solid. And the grave clothes present in the tomb prove that his body wasn't stolen, because the only thing that grave robbers want is the grave clothes, not the body. There were no anatomists in those days that were looking for dead bodies. They wanted the grave clothes. So Jesus didn't simply appear to be human. He was human. He didn't reject the physical body, but he raised it back to life. That's got huge implications for the Christian view of the physical world. The resurrection we look forward to for ourselves is not an escape from the physical world, but a redemption of the physical world, taking hold of what God has created and redeeming it back to himself. A belief in a divine spirit yearning to be free from the physical shackles of humanity and physicality is a theoretical doctrine. It's Zoroastrianism, not Christianity. It's nothing to do with Christianity. Jesus demonstrates that the physical world is good as God has always declared it to be. They still didn't understand. This is great good news. They didn't understand, and God did it anyway. We do not have to understand God's purposes for him to fulfill them. That is really good news. Or is that just me? He does want us to come to understand what he's doing, because he wants us to be involved in the work. He's a loving father, and he wants his children to be involved in the work with him. But he is not dependent on us understanding what he's doing. Mary Magdalene saw Jesus. She didn't see a vision of Jesus. She saw Jesus. She spoke with him and held on to him. And Jesus, the one who'd met with her and set her free and brought her to life, she met with him, the one she believed to be dead. And now she meets him alive. When she believed him to be dead, her one desire was to show her love to him one last time by anointing his body. when even that was taken from her, she refused to leave the tomb. We studied this passage just coincidentally, a couple of weeks ago in our life group, and three things stuck in my mind from that little discussion that we had. The first was that Jesus chose to appear to a woman first. That was radical in that day. Women's testimony was generally regarded as not admissible in the courtroom. And yet Jesus chose to elevate women by appearing to them first and giving them the first testimony about him. We thought that he raised Mary's status because, she could have been looked down on as one that had had demons cast out of her. She may have seemed over-emotional. But Jesus raised her status by giving her the first gospel message to go back to the disciples with. From then on, she would be the one who was able to say, I met him first after the resurrection. He told me to tell you that he'd risen. It raised her status. And finally, we wondered if Jesus' request for her not to hold on to him reflected just how tightly he was hugging him. Perhaps hugging the breath out of him because she was so excited that he was alive. So maybe he didn't say, don't hold on to me. He said, don't hold on to me so tightly. For us, the application of Mary seeing Jesus is that women have an important role in discerning and communicating God's plan. Fifthly, Mary Magdalene left. In the light of all that I've said that kept her rooted to the spot, rooted to that tomb, the fact that she was willing to leave immediately Jesus commanded her to is breathtaking. That was where she'd met her risen Lord. And yet she was willing at his word to leave that place, to trust him, and to go off to speak to the disciples. So she went and she told what she'd seen and heard. And we're called to do the same. To receive from God and then to testify to what he's done in our lives. It's great that Lynn gave that opportunity earlier to share something of our encounter with Jesus. But when we have that encounter, we don't stay there. We don't stay in Mildenhall because that's where we've met with God. We move on from that place, the place where we've met with Jesus, and we share the testimony of meeting with him. So how do we respond to this? As we have a risen Saviour, there is no situation beyond his power to resurrect. Jesus was dead. And now he's risen. He's conquered death. So our ultimate hope is not healing, but resurrection. I'm a charismatic Christian. I believe that God does miracles today. I believe that he's in the business of healing people and bringing hope and binding up broken hearts and bringing forward the good news of the second coming into our experience today. But he doesn't do all of that now. Our hope is not in those miracles. Our hope is in resurrection. And that is established in Jesus Christ. The power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in you. Romans 8:11. And with the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we begin to touch on these holy things, to think again of the way that you broke the power of sin and death, the immense cost to you, to the Father and to the Spirit, we come in awe and wonder with thanksgiving. We acknowledge before you that there are parts of our life that seem to be broken beyond our mending, turned to ashes. But today you give us hope. We believe again in your resurrection, And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come into our lives. Give life to our mortal body as we trust in you. Amen.